Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another edition of
Fingers on Buzzers.
It's so short and crisp. I like it. I like it a lot. And we've got amazing guests as usual tonight. We've got the brilliant Sean Williamson.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
He's very good.
Actual,
and we have a listener quiz.
He's written the book on quiz.
I know, and it is an amazing book. I absolutely love it. So I cannot wait to talk to him about it. His quiz journey. I see myself in him, that sort of thing of going, I love to quiz, but could I do it in a kind of more formal way? And I absolutely love it. And then we've got our listener quiz, which is from the lovely Chris yeah. Dixon.
Yeah, he's a avid listener. And so I hope the questions will be deeply biographical.
I suspect that they may be, Jenny. Let's get on with the show. Right, now we have a wonderful guest in the shape of Mr. Chris Dixon.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Good evening.
Studio audience.
Whoop, whoop. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And Chris, tell us about your relationship with quiz.
My claim to fame in the world of quiz is that I started the predecessor to UKGameshows.com, a site which will surely be famous to many of your listeners, back in 1996. And
my
it was
goodness,
all
the dawn
text.
Of the internet.
Well, more or less.
Wow.
It was all text only, as was internet access by and large at that point. And yep. It started off with just a few rule sets to some of the shows of the day. But it's what you did back in the time, and I made a great many friends from it, and the site has gone on from strength to strength over the decades.
Wow, yes. Well, I mean, it's a valuable resource for anyone who's got any interest in TV, quizzing and game show stuff, isn't it? And are you a quizzer yourself then? Do you compete in any leagues or a pub quiz team or anything like that?
I like an imaginative quiz. I don't participate at any particularly high standard. And I know that a lot of listeners will feel that in the same way. And sometimes it's very tempting to compare yourself to the people who come up. So as a guideline, Jenny, I would put no fear whatsoever into you were I to be on the chase. In the cash builder, I can typically get 4 or 5 or 6 right, so
that's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's solid, not going to strike fear into any chaser's heart.
Well, I think what we like is the idea that, you know, you don't have to aspire to be a professional quizzer. We're not all going to be Kevin Ashman, are we? We're not all going to be, you know.
No one can be Kevin Ashman.
Exactly.
He's got that sewn up.
But we can
wouldn't
all...
Wouldn't it be a lovely world if we were, though?
No, Chris, it wouldn't. No. I mean, even Kevin would probably admit that.
Yeah, diversity in the world, especially the world of quiz. That's what we aspire to.
He is amazing, but also there is definitely a place for, as you say, people who like joining in. And I think imaginative is a really great word to use. The idea that, yeah, it's about taking quiz to different places and sort of doing stuff. I think in lockdown there's been some really brilliant examples, and we've had some on this very podcast, of people who just are doing really sort of unusual, crazy things with Zoom quizzes and stuff.
Oh, can I tell you about one of them that some of your listeners may not have heard about?
Please do.
A whole culture on the website Twitch, which is largely devoted to people streaming games of all sorts, but mm-hmm. there are some people who are doing some really, to use the word again, imaginative quiz show formats of their own on there. Now,
please tell us who they are.
I would recommend the work of one Ash the Bash, who is most mm-hmm. easily found by searching for Ash Quiz Twitch. And what I would commend about his work in particular is, with a lot of online quizzes, you feel you're watching a PowerPoint presentation. And that's no bad thing. That's no reason why the questions can't be brilliant. That's no reason why the questions can't be really visual and original. But people on Twitch are going further than ever before towards making an online quiz look like a quiz show.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you remember 500 Questions on ITV with Giles Corran?
Yeah, that didn't last very long.
It was not one of ITV's greater hits.
No.
500 Questions, in theory, you had contestants come on one at a time. If they got 3 questions in a row wrong, or were defeated in challenges 3 times in a row, then they were off the show. But wasn't a great hit. They got through about 40 or 50 questions in a show, and then they moved mm-hmm. on to another episode. So it didn't really live up to the name.
Mm-hmm.
That said, when you're on the internet... Oh yeah, you can see where this is going. When you're on the internet and you don't have a time slot, you can literally do 500 questions.
Wow.
So, yes, Ash had a stream in which he asked 500 questions and properly lived up to the potential for the 500 questions format. And it took the lad 12 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh my God. Stamina required from all concerned there.
Oh, the incredible thing is they had a contestant, a guy called Lucario, who got in at question 168 and kept going and kept going and kept going. He was there for over 10 hours and he got all the way to question 500. You had to be there, but it was a remarkable feat of stamina.
Amazing.
And the whole enterprise made about £2,500 for Save the Children.
Fantastic.
The enterprise made £2,500 for Save the Children.
That's brilliant. I love, do you know what? You are brilliant as well, Chris, in that you are editing yourself as you go along. I love this. Amanda is going to be going, thank you, Chris. I love this. That's brilliant. Well, that sounds amazing. So we will look for Ash the Bash on Twitch. And now, Chris, you're going to come back later on and give us a quiz of your very own. Hopefully not 500 questions.
How about 5? That sounds good.
That sounds very good. All right, brilliant. Yeah. Thank you very much, Chris Dixon. Now, we are absolutely honoured to be joined by the one and only Mr. Sean Williams. Oh my goodness. Now, Sean, obviously everyone loves you as an actor, and a lot of people do know that you are a keen quizzer. But you have written a book, A Matter of Fact, One Man's Journey into the Nation's Quiz Obsession. And I downloaded it this afternoon, and I am already over halfway through it. It is absolutely brilliant. And it's like perfect for our listeners because it's, amongst many things, it's about five books in one, Sean. What you've done is you've written, it's an autobiography. It's also like a fascinating kind of insight into acting and the world of show business generally. There's how-to guides about putting on your own quizzes and stuff. But what it also is that our readers will find fascinating is your journey from being a keen quizzer to trying to sort of join the pros.
That's right. Yeah, well, I've always been obsessed with quizzing ever since I got my first Trivial Pursuit set, you know. I said the parents might as well have given me ketamine, you know. It was brilliant. And then I used to work my way through the questions and answers in bed, and then I never lost to anyone. I was just a big cheat. And then I joined local pub quiz teams and things like that. And they were a very good team. The Unicorn in Canterbury, we won everything. But then when I was in EastEnders, I had a young family, so I didn't really have the time to do that sort of thing. So I sort of picked it up again. First of all, I was lucky enough through EastEnders to do all of the wonderful celebrity extensions of all the quiz shows like Jenny's Show, you know, Celebrity Chase, Pointless Celebrities, Celebrity Mastermind. I managed to do all right in most of them. I won most of them because most celebs just want to get their face on telly and have a laugh. But I was the only saddo who really wanted to win, you know what I mean?
I love how seriously you take it. Exactly, because we very much on this podcast, we are always saying you've got to take it seriously. We cannot abide people who just go on and don't actually give the quiz the respect that it deserves. And it's amazing. In the book, you talk about all of those sort of appearances, and it's really good fun because you do sort of a little play-by-play of your appearances. I mean, what is lovely about the book is there are so many questions and answers in it. It's densely packed with actual questions and answers. And I did not realise how brilliantly you'd done on Pointless. Five appearances, is that
right? Four. So we won three jackpots, and the very first show we went on, do you remember back in the day that they wouldn't give you three or four categories? You just had to, you were given.
Yeah, the final round, you just had to take what you were given.
Celine Dion hits. And, Lucy Speed, we only knew the biggies, unfortunately. So we won and got a trophy, but we didn't get the jackpot. And then the subsequent three appearances, we managed to win the jackpots. And every time I've been very lucky. I remember on one, we hadn't done very well, myself and Lucy Speed. I was on it twice with her. And Pete Dean, who used to play Pete Beale in EastEnders, White Twiggle. Yep. All he had to do was name a Madonna song, really, to get through. He just went... Knees up, mother boy. Oh. So we got through. And in every show, I've had just that little bit of luck, a little bit of the rub of the green to get through, really, yeah.
Well, I mean, we all know that quizzing involves a lot of luck, but also, I mean, your skills are absolutely unquestionable. The Chase, you appeared on that and brought home £14,000 per player, £56,000 total pot in 2011. I think that was the first series of Celebrity Chase.
I think it was slightly before Jenny's time, yeah. And I remember, I think Mark Labatt walked out and we're all like, oh, here we go. I think it was me, Sally Linsky from Coronation Street, Barry McGuigan and an Atomic Kitten. But they're all lovely people. So I think Sally got four and I took on Mark for 50.
Nice.
Managed to beat him. And then the other two, we just said, look, just go for £1,000 and get yourself back here, really. We managed to get the 56 out of the building. Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking. It's very nerve-wracking when you're at the bottom of that machine. But
yeah, because they really do loom over you, don't they? I mean, that is a very well-constructed set. Well,
it's great. It's very intimidating. But yeah, we managed to get the money out of the building for my friend's charity. And Mastermind. I did the second ever episode of Celebrity Mastermind. I think Charlie Higson won the first one. And I was with, my subject was Richard Burton, the Welsh actor, because I was always obsessed by him. And I thought, when I was stacking shelves at Safeways that later became Morrison's, I was like, I'm going to be Richard Burton. The irony is I became Barry from EastEnders. But unless you aim somewhere, you won't get anywhere. You know what I mean?
It's the role that old Dickie would have craved, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a very good point in your book that, you know, it's also, amongst other things, a sort of inspirational, motivational manual as well, because you do say that, I mean, like, because again, I did not know much about your life story, you know, you really scrimped and saved to go to drama school, to go to Webber Douglas, didn't you? And you'd been in the Merchant Navy, you'd been a postie, you know, what a life you've had.
I think what it is, you're never sure whether anyone's ever going to pay you to write a book again. So there were certain stories I wanted to tell. I felt duty-bound to write about EastEnders.
Yeah.
And there's an account of me finding my son, who I'd never met, first met him in 2013. There's a friend who died up the Twin Towers. There's my time in the Navy. So there were certain stories, but I like to think they're not, on the whole, crowbarred in. Most of them come out of quizzing, actually, yeah. I hope. But I've kept some great stories back, just in case any publishers are watching.
Well, you know, it does feel like you could expand any of these strands into a whole lot of other books. And of course, because it is about your journey as a quizzer, I mean, that is definitely not coming to an end, is it? Because obviously this year, the world of quiz, like everything else, has been disrupted. Yeah. So you have gone from just sort of amateur quizzing to taking part in the big leagues.
Yes. Yeah. And Jenny knows all about them. And so on the first Saturday of every month, the devoted quizzers meet at various locations around the country. And at 11:30, it's like a school exam. You can have a lot of fun at these dudes, but at 11:30, the fun stops for 90 minutes because you turn your paper, switch your phone off, and you don't surface for air until 1:00 in the afternoon. 90 minutes is very, very intense. The thing is, what I learned really was, I started off jokingly, I'm going to be the world quiz champion. You know, you soon learn your place in this system and where you sit. So really, it just became a personal thing. How well can I do against myself this week? You know, I'm never going to beat the likes of the regulars on the Chase or the Eggheads. Mm-hmm. So it's all about how high I can get. Mm. And the very first one I did, I come 134th out of 177. I had a good look at myself in the mirror and thought, right, you've really got to, you know, sort your life out. And just before lockdown, I came 59th. So I was getting there. I was just creeping up.
Yeah.
And as Jenny will tell you, it's so frustrating because there's just some weeks when you've got 5 or 6 on the tip of your tongue and you probably learned the fact 6 years ago. Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. Some weeks they just won't come, and other weeks, gloriously, they all come, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's that element of luck, but also the perseverance of it. And you've noticed during the time that you've been doing those, the Grand Prix style quizzes, that you've picked up information along the way, and it might not be that the same question has come up 3 months ago and you've learned it and it got it right again next time. It's all the extraneous stuff on the day.
Yes.
So later on, another quizzer will be telling you this fact and extra quizzing will break out everywhere, and then that will inform you. So the more you quiz and the more you're in the quiz circuit and the quiz arena, the more facts get fed into your brain, and sometimes it is a matter of recalling them in time, and you might not get them all in that 90 minutes.
I mean, Ian Bailey, who was a very noted quizzer in the quiz world, very bright man, he told me, in fact, when he brain trains, he just looks at, he's got all his old quizzes in ring binders, and he just goes over them, because he said it's amazing how many questions can come up again or in a different form or a different way. Mm-hmm. Going back, yeah. So that's how he trains. But another one of the big things that I learned was, very quickly, you've got to keep up with the news. You've got to keep up with the news. But the trouble is, by the time the quiz comes out, the news it features is often 2 months old. So you've got to start this folder of current events. The very first quiz I did, I didn't recognise Greta Thunberg. I knew her, I was aware of her, but...
You didn't think you'd ever be expected to remember her middle name.
You know, and I didn't recognise Ada Hegerberg, the Norwegian footballer. Some idiot asked her to twerk when she picked up the female Ballon d'Or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the other people in the room knew this. I thought, how do they know that? It's because they tuned in to pick all the cherry pick, all the current affairs facts out of, you know. And so now every day I read a broadsheet and a red top of differing standards just to know what's going on, you know.
That is a huge skill of the quiz world, is learning, putting yourself in the mind of the question setter.
Yeah.
So there will be something on every page of the newspaper that you know that's going to get asked about.
Okay.
And there might be something interesting that you think, well, this might come up in some quiz. It's not going to come up on the Chase, but it might come up in a Grand Prix. Which way round would they ask it? Is there an easier way around? How do I best remember it? And what's going to be the lingering fact that will be relevant this time next year? So there's so many different layers of how to analyse information. And it's all about thinking like a question
setter. Totally, totally.
Well, which of course you are, Sean, as well. And I think most quizzers enjoy setting a quiz. And you in the book, you outline some of your top tips for
I outlined all the top tips and then immediately broke them. I didn't have an assistant because all the people that I thought might want to do it wanted to take part in the quiz. So I was going around collecting team names, doling out the paper. So we started 20 minutes late because I was doing all that. I was putting them all up on the whiteboard. Another one is always do a music round. People like music rounds, and also they can't cheat on a music round. So always do a music round. Mm-hmm. So I can't get on with this technology, you know, I can't get on with it. So in the old days, it was very simple. You had a CD and tape unit. Do you remember that with a record player on top?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And all you did, you put a tape in, you played a song on a CD, and then you pause the tape. Let's say it's an intros round. You pause the tape. When you did this 10 times, yeah, there was your music round. Now it's USB sticks. And I went, oh, no, I can't be dumb. I don't know what I'm doing. My wife, Adele, is brilliant. She would have helped me, but I just said, no, I'll do this as a music round, right? Name anybody who's won an Oscar and had a hit, a number one hit, in the UK charts. But don't forget, the person who sings the Oscar-winning song isn't necessarily the writer. It's the writer. And I went on and on. And you can see these people giving up the will to live. Another cardinal rule. I just made it too difficult. And I said, there's 23 names you can get, but I only want 10. I don't want all 23. And honestly, you could just see them going... Yeah. And then I had to go around each table, almost explaining it again. You know what I mean? Again, I broke my own rules. Just simplify things. Simplify it.
Lessons learned the hard way.
Oh, we've all been there. We've all had those quizzes where, you know... Well, also, something you talk about in the book is the alcohol that can be taken by both the quizzes and, in my case, often the quiz setter, which is a very bad idea. Yeah, it's quite interesting about the quizzing lifestyle as well and how it does demand a bit of physical fitness and, you know...
Stamina.
What the lifestyle is. Yeah, exactly, yeah, stamina.
It was an exploration of healthy body, healthy mind, really. I asked the question, I doubt whether many of the top quizzes would get lashed on a Friday night before the Saturday morning of a quiz, you know. And just about how far you can take this to improve your performance. So I went and got hypnotherapy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
First of all, I visited a memory grandmaster who taught me about mind palaces, which is what Sherlock Holmes uses. So this guy, Mark Shannon, he taught me how to... So I wanted to learn the periodic table because I'm rubbish at science and maths. I always drop what we call the physical world paper. Mm-hmm. It's all about science, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm just not very strong on it. So a mind palace. So he said, imagine like you've got bombs on your feet. You've got balloons strapped to your knees. You've got mobile phones strapped to your thighs. Well, straight away, you've got hydrogen, helium, lithium. And do you see what I mean?
Oh,
and then you put all of the first 10 on the body, so it's easy to remember. And then the last one, he says, look up at the ceiling, and there's your name in lights, Sean, neon. That's 10.
Yes.
And then we went round the room and come up with another 20. A lot of it was total gobbledygook, but as long as it made sense to you and you could attach something to it. So by the time I left the room, I knew the first 30. And then using this very office, I got up to 66, the first 66 that I could recall. Don't ask me to do it now, but I could do it again quickly. Do you know what I mean? If I just had a quick refresher. So that was memory palaces. Yeah. But then regarding your initial thing about food and drink, that was a guy called Chris Hughes, who's a hypnotherapist. And I've sort of got into this because, you know, if you go to the doctor and I said, "Doctor, I'm overweight, what can I do?" He'd say, "Well, don't eat and drink so much." I say, "Thanks, doctor, you're a genius. You know what you have to do. You know what you have to do to change your life for the better. But often you're unwilling to make the small changes of habit that surround the big habit." You know, Sean will pour a G into you at 6:30 in the evening because that is what he always does. How about you have your evening walk at 6:30, and when you get back in at 7:30, you quickly drink a pint of water and then see where that takes you. Do you know what I mean? So just tiny little things. So, and it worked for a while, you know. I thought I'd be open to anything and try everything, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a journey of discovery. Jen, is that the memory palaces thing and those kind of memory tricks, how common are those in the world of quizzing?
There are different schools of thought, and there are different people who use their brains in different ways to remember things. And there are people who you class them as a list learner. So someone like Dr. Ian Bailey is very good at learning a list, and he will be able to visualise huge swathes of information in a technique like that. Other people will be using mnemonics for everything. I'm always really beating myself up about the fact that I can't really do that. I don't have a brain that operates that way. So the memory palace is good for learning a sequence of things, but sometimes it's more about being able to access the information really quickly. So if I was remembering a list of periodic table like that without having to write it all down and get the numbers, I need to find another way of doing it. A lot of my memory techniques are to do with context and even physicality. So at the moment I've got a list of world capitals that's kind of just up to my left, so I think I know now if whereabouts even to look, where to move my eye. I'm not in this room, I can go, oh, it's the third column, it's about halfway down, and I can tell how long it is just from it's not a photographic memory, but it's that slight visual recall. I can take a snapshot of it almost.
Do you know, I put the American state capitals by the loo.
Yep.
To this day, I can still remember the first three, because every time I sat down, I'd start the first three and then completely fail to get any further down.
You needed them on like a roll, really.
Just turn it
each time.
Chris's toilet paper, you just take off the roll and then, you know.
My mum famously had the shipping forecast areas by the guest toilet for many, many years. So we're pretty hot on shipping forecast in our family. And anyone who's visited, really.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
We need to come to your loo. Now, listen, Sean, I wanted to give you a quiz. We always quiz our guests on something to do with their life. And, of course, reading your book, one of the very first things you say is that when you went into quizzing, you hoped that the things that would come up would be the life of Barry in EastEnders and obscure boxing trivia. So I have prepared you a quiz on Barry's life and works and boxing trivia.
Oh, my word. Okay, let's do it. Great.
Because it can only be embarrassing if you get these wrong, right?
Yeah, so,
question number one, and Jenny is eligible to answer these because you haven't seen them, Jen, have you? So I can throw them over. Question number one on Barry. What is the name of Barry's mum?
Oh, there was the funeral scene, and I only ever said her name once. Was it something like Joan?
It's of that ilk. It's not Joan. I'll throw it over to Jenny just in case you can...
Sylvia.
No, it was Doreen.
Doreen.
Oh. Doreen Evans. She died in childbirth, isn't
it? Yeah, I was a big baby.
Oh, tragic backstory right from the get-go.
It is, isn't it? Poor Barry.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay, question number two. At what event, this is about your dad, at what event did Pat Butcher meet Roy Evans?
That's good.
When they're introduced, I mean, obviously this is before, this would be before you were in the picture.
I was brought in to get them together. I turned up on Christmas Day with a car wrapped in a red ribbon as a gift from my dad. Was it something in the Vic?
No.
I'm just rubbing.
They met at a car auction, apparently.
I was going to say it was something to do with buying a car.
It wasn't.
But I thought that Pat had gone to buy a car.
Yeah, it wasn't on screen. Yeah.
From Roy.
The scene wasn't on screen.
No.
She bought a car at an auction from Roy and it turned out to be dodgy. So then Roy had me, even before you'd met Roy, Roy had me deliver a car wrapped in a red bow to try and make it.
Well, I think you definitely get that.
Smooth.
You definitely get that point for that one. And your final question on Barry is, which member of Little Mix wore a T-shirt tribute to Barry earlier this year?
Oh, was that... was it Jade?
First name, Jade? Woody. It was Jade.
That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, her and her boyfriend are fans of the show, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it's a very nice T-shirt. Are those commercially available or did she have that specially printed? Well, that was pretty good. I think my questions on Barry were found wanting, but I have got some boxing questions now. Okay, which boxer won the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship in 1978 in only his eighth professional
Leon Spinks.
Fight? Very good. Straight in. Jenny didn't have a moment
Big upset, because then Ali won it back from him to be the three-time champion, that's right.
Yeah, and he was later stripped of the WBC title for facing Ali in an unapproved rematch 7 months later. Okay, question number two. In the 1961 movie The Hustler, which boxing champion makes a cameo appearance?
There was a boxer who used to do a lot in movies. It wouldn't be Joe Louis. Rocky Graziano?
I've heard of him. No, it's someone I've heard of who has a nickname. I mean, I'm really... Boxing is really not my strong suit.
Sugar Ray Robinson?
Jenny.
Jack Dempsey?
It was. The Raging Bull.
Oh, Jake LaMotta, was it?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that film for years.
Wow, that's a good bit of trivia, that.
Yeah.
He played a bartender, apparently. Okay, so here is question number three. Who was the first Southpaw to become heavyweight champion?
That's a good question, isn't it?
I understand what a southpaw is. Is it a left hand leads with the left? Is that
no,
it?
No, you lead with the right if you're a southpaw.
Right.
You lead with the left. You always keep your strong hand back for the big punch.
Right.
People who've got a bigger left hand punch, and obviously they're rarer as we know left handed people. First southpaw to win the world heavyweight boxing title.
It's much more recent than I would have thought. Or, you know, as a left-handed person, I would have thought we'd have done it a lot sooner. I feel very strongly about my left-handed identity.
You know what? I'm not going to get this. What did...
1994.
Not Evander Holyfield.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Mora. Was...
Yes!
Oh, that was painful. Sorry, Michael Mora.
Wow.
Well, very well done.
Really?
I mean...
Much better than I would have done, so.
Yeah. That was, Barry, you know, I have to say.
Grim categories.
Well, obviously, we could talk to you all night, but we're going to have to let you go in a minute. But I just wanted to recommend the book and say that I think our listeners, anyone who listens to this podcast, will absolutely love it. You do find out some extraordinary things. Some of the facts I enjoyed were that the Archbishop of Canterbury attends the Panto at the Marlowe Theatre every year and you get to meet
him.
Oh, that's nice.
When the curtain comes down, you always wait behind the curtain, and then it was Rowan Williams the last time I did it. He came round. Justin Welby, well, he won't be going there this year, unfortunately. But,
no.
And then when you do Panto in King's Lynn, the royal family come and visit you, because they always bring their kids in from Sandringham, so it's normally Prince Edward or his wife or someone like that.
Well. Oh, but there you go. And I also very much enjoyed the story of Kihi D's reading lamp. I'll just leave that there. I just think that's
the name of my band.
Kihi D's lamp. There's so much that I really enjoyed. The fact that you proposed to your wife in a graveyard.
Yeah, I hastily add that it's on a beautiful nature reserve where a lot of her family are buried. So that makes it sound a lot better, doesn't it? Sound a bit more romantic.
The book also is a lovely sort of love letter to Adele as well. It is very sweet that, you know, your relationship kind of comes through in that as well. It's very nice. And the final thing that I really liked was that it reminded me about a show called Today's the Day with Martin Lewis, which was your first ever quizzing, TV quizzing experience.
Lovely, gentle programme. There was no, you know, it was just Martin, and it was all about the news of the of that day in history, which is probably why the run didn't go on and on, because you can only delve up so many facts from that day in history, I suppose, for future shows. But yeah, it was lovely, and Tony Cornter, who played Roy, was on the other team, and we just had a great time. Lovely.
As you say, though, it was that time where it kind of, it then went to the weakest link, so it was a sort of lovely, gentle show, and then quizzing
it got mean,
and Robinson changed it all. Yeah,
she did.
Well, maybe it's time to bring it back. Today's the day with Martin Lewis. And we've also really enjoyed, obviously, Beat the Barman on Al Murray's Great British Pub Quiz. That was, that must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was an honour to be asked, really. And then, so basically, I had to take on one from each team. A member of the team would come out, stand opposite me, and it might be African countries. So Al would ring a bell and I'd go Egypt, I'd go Morocco, and on and on and on and on until someone either blew it or, you know, through nerves or just didn't know anymore, really. And I think I won 32 out of 40. There were some that I couldn't handle, like Star Wars. And
I know, I just watched it today, having just read in your book how much you don't like Star Wars.
Only time I ever get in the book, because it is very affectionate, because I love the world of quizzing and everyone in it, and they're great characters, they really are. The only time I ever get bitter is because there's a lot of stuff comes up about video games and Star Wars. So I start getting a little bit bitter about it. I'll say one day I'll set a quiz and there'll be no Star Wars. There'll be no restriction. But really, it's me. It's my ignorance. It's my lack of knowledge that's...
We all have those subjects.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, but we all have those ones where we just go, oh, I don't care. I just can't be bothered. But, it is such a lovely book, Sean, and thank you so much for writing it. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to love it. So thank you very much for joining us, Sean Williamson.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we are back with the lovely Chris Dixon, who we met earlier. Hello, Chris.
Hello again.
Hello again, and it is time for you to quiz us. What have you got for us today?
I have a miniature miscellany. It's a gentle grab bag, a petit potpourri. Just don't call it general knowledge. It's a bit of this, that, and the other, and something else. And there's a little bit of a twist at the end.
Ooh, lovely.
Okay, question one: which forename was given to more newborn boys than any other in Germany during the 1920s? As a clue.
Now, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, go on, give us the clue.
It connects the surnames Asperger, Blix, Gruber, and Zimmer.
Well, I mean, obviously, I thought you were leading us down one path.
Yeah.
There. I
that
thought
could
this
have
is
been controversial.
Be, exactly. But, you know, you've said Zimmer, and you say Zimmer, I say Hans. So,
you say it quite correctly.
And immediately the theme from Going for Gold is going around our heads.
Yeah, exactly. And Hans Gruber, the...
Alan Rickman himself.
Alan Rickman, exactly. What were the other ones, Hans
Blix, the famous weapons inspector.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And
lovely.
Hans Asperger.
Whom Asperger's... is named after. After. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. Very good first question, Chris. Crack on with your second one.
So a point for you, Lucy, but a point for me for getting the music stuck in your heads.
Yes.
Hank Azaria voices a number of characters on The Simpsons, notably Chief Wiggum and Mo of the eponymous tavern. Mm-hmm. However, he's announced he'll be stepping away from voicing which other character from a fear that that character reinforced negative stereotypes.
Yes.
That'll be Apu Nahasapita Petalon.
Fantastic.
And a very good bonus point for the surname there. Well done.
For the purposes of this evening, let's just consider him as Apu. Because I certainly don't want to try saying that surname, but I'm hugely impressed all the same. Question three. In the fantasy series, Minerva McGonagall had one that was 9.5 inches long, stiff, and made of fir timber wrapped around a dragon's heartstring. Harry Potter's was 11 inches long, supple, and made from holly timber wrapped around a phoenix feather. What are we discussing?
Well, Harry Potter's was the twin of the one that gave him his scar. And it was, I'm really hoping it was their wand, unless there is an adult fan fiction site.
Oh, there is. Don't worry about
there
that.
Is. Of course there is. But
don't worry.
Is it wands, Chris? Is it wands?
It certainly is.
Not pencils.
Question four. Named after a German electrical engineer and also known as the Mo, what is the SI-derived unit of electric conductance? Now, here's another way of looking at it. The engineer in question co-founded a company that still bears his name. It's best known for electrical equipment, health, technology, and trains.
I go for Siemens.
So that makes the unit the Siemens.
The Siemen.
No, that's your adult fan fiction again.
Okay. Very good. Is that right?
It is the Siemens indeed.
Very good. Well done, Jen.
So, question five, and this one goes to Lucy only.
Ooh.
What connects the answers to those first four questions in order?
Oh, and now. I mean, I feel
like. Were you making notes?
No, of course I wasn't. And my memory is really terrible. So, we had hands for Zimmer and Doodadoo. We definitely had wand. We definitely had Siemens. And what was the other one? I've totally forgotten now.
We had hands, Apu, wand, Siemens.
Hans Apple. What? It sounds like it should be saying something. You know what I mean? Hans Apple wand Simon. Hans Apple. I'm just going to keep saying it until it makes sense.
Absolutely. It'll help if you think of it as the Siemens.
Okay.
Hands up if you want the Siemens. It was a catchphrase from an advert that I did in the 1990s. Oh, my goodness, Chris. Oh, what an amazing piece of research. And
that was a deep dive right there.
Wow, that is amazing. Yes, I did an advert for a mobile phone company in, I don't know, 1990-something, 97 or something. And my catchphrase, or the line I delivered at the end of the advert was, hands up, who wants the Siemens? Which I think was meant to be a bit saucy, but who knows, really. It was the 90s, things were crazy. And in fact, I've discussed it on a YouTube channel called We Like Old Adverts, which you must look up if you have the time. Because
it's a smashing channel, because I've been on it as well.
You certainly have. Talking about a weird collection of sort of woman falling in love with appliances, which
yeah,
you have
it was
to see.
It was a Randy washing machine from the 90s.
Amazing, Chris. That was absolutely brilliant. And I mean, that advert is available to watch on YouTube if you wish, but please don't, I would say. It's terribly embarrassing. That was such an amazing quiz, Chris. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
We love that. And thank you for sharing your quizzing life with us. And thanks for everything.
Just thanks for being a Chris. That's amazing.
Well, Jen, what an episode that was. And you were absolutely right to think that Chris Dixon's quiz was going to be pretty autobiographical.
Oh, he knows your deepest, darkest advert secrets.
He knows
the things you did for money in the 90s, Lucy.
No one will ever get to know all of those, Jen. So it's been a delight. And Sean Williamson was an absolute dream, wasn't he?
Oh, absolute top draw guest there.
And that book is, you know, if you're looking for a present for the quiz lover in your life for Christmas, I would heartily recommend it.
Or sooner, in fact.
Well, indeed, just a general gift for yourself. Pamper yourself, why not? That's what we all need to do these days, isn't it? And we'll be back to pamper you next week with another edition of...
Fingers Up Buses.
Hoo-hoo. Slightly breathy, I like that. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye, guys.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.